us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we feeling this morning? Are we ready to praise God together? Find three people and tell them how excited you are to see people set free at the altar today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome. If you're new to the house and you don't understand what baptisms are just an outside representation of what's going on in the inside. Amen. When Jesus was baptized, he got launched into ministry. He did that as an example. But people get baptized to show that they're getting rid of their sin for good, amen? That they want to be healed, that the Spirit is cleansing them from the inside out. That's what baptisms are. So we're going to celebrate with them. We're going to encourage them today. And we're going to believe that they are being set free as they come up out of that water. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen? Hallelujah! Let's praise Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Testimony, everyone. Lives healed, hope found. I don't know about you, but I sense the presence of God in this place. Father, we thank you so much for being here. Lord, we know that Bible says that where two or three are gathered, there you are. But Lord, I love that. But God, I love when you actually show yourself here. God, I love when we can walk away and say without a shadow of a doubt, we have been in the presence of God. Lord, not by faith, but God, by sight even. Lord, you love to manifest your love. You love to manifest your power. And today, God, we are expecting healing. We're expecting salvation. Lord, already two people gave their hearts to the Lord pre-service. God, we give you thank you. So much thanks for their life already, God. Two salvations before the service ever began. We praise you, God, for that. Lord, even this week, God, we just expect you to move in a powerful manner. Lord, today, we are positioning ourselves. We're positioning ourselves in the anointing, positioning ourselves in your presence. And God, we expect that you're going to move in our lives. Lord, each one in this room has a need in their life in some capacity. I just ask that today you'll meet them right where they're at. That God, supernaturally, God, not naturally, but supernaturally, you'll meet them and change them. God, manifest your power in their life. If it's physical, God, heal their bodies. If it's in their minds, God, heal their minds. If it's in their soul, restore their soul in Jesus' name. God, we pray and speak even over their finances and declare, God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, but that, God, you'll prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You are such a faithful God. Lord, we're not here for church. We're here for you. We love you and thank you for being so real in our lives. Lord, there are some here that are struggling in their faith. God, some, I just hear my spirit, one of you have said, this is my last time going to church. If God doesn't touch me, if God doesn't do something in my life, then I'm giving up, I'm walking away. So you need to hear me very clearly. God is speaking to you right now and he's saying, I heard your cry, I heard your prayer. Now I'm answering you. Now stop playing around and run with all that you got. No more need for doubt. God, I just thank you that today you love us. Before we ever loved you, you loved us. God, you've got a phenomenal plan for us, each individually and corporately. There's the presence of God. I don't know what you want to do, Holy Spirit, but this isn't our service. This is your service. We're not God, you are. So whatever you want to do here this morning, Spirit of God, however you want to touch us and minister to us, we just want you to know our hearts are open to hear from you. We need you. We don't want church. We want God. We don't want religion. We want the true Christ. So, Lord, here we are. Come on, listen to him. He's going to speak to your heart. What does he want to say to you this morning? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Don't get uncomfortable in silence. See, when we're so busy, we can't hear him. These moments of silence are when God can speak to you. God is healing someone's left hip. On the back side of the hip, when you walk, it's constant pain. God is restoring your hip in Jesus' name. I sense in my spirit there are some of you that have really, you've really had a strong attack of the enemy to draw you away from your relationship with Jesus. Even people from the past, even situations from the past that you haven't thought of in years are now starting to flare, even in your dreams. And God is saying, you need to understand what that is. That is not me. That is a diabolical attack, because the Bible says that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And so condemnation is coming from the enemy. He's trying to allure you back to your old lifestyle. Remember, you left there. I drew you from there, and I saved you from there. Therefore, I did not save you to have you go back. So hear the word of the Lord for you this morning, and that is, you need to cut off some of those things from your past, even those memories, even those dreams. Take authority over your dreams in Jesus' name, and you will find that that thread from the past will be broken, and you will no longer have that draw to the back, but you will move forward in me. God, I thank you that you love us. Ah, anointing. Come on, God. More. We want you to do more. We want you to say more. We want you to show yourself more. You're so faithful. You're so faithful, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Bless you, God. Lord, I pray for those that are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues this morning. God, just right in their seat, they'll be filled with your Holy Spirit. Baptize us, God. Fill us full of the Spirit of God like you did in the book of Acts. A fresh infilling for those, God, who've been filled before. I pray for that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ribiridibu shandarala malurumurumu kurribiridibu. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, God. Bless you, God. Jesus. I just keep hearing my spirit. He's rooting you on. He's rooting you on. He's not beating you down. He's rooting you on. You can make it. You can make it. Forget those things which are behind. Press on towards the mark. You can make it. God is cheering you on. God believes in you. God believes in you. God believes in you. Lower right intestine is being healed in the name of Jesus. God believes in you. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. God believes in you. Angels, I release you now in the name of Jesus to go and to encourage and strengthen the saints in Jesus' name. I love the presence of Jesus. Amen. I just don't understand how people can be satisfied going to church and not experiencing the presence of the Lord. I challenge you. The presence of God wants to be with you at all times. He is there, but you can actually sense him and man and experience his presence. Yeah, I know. Revive your church. Individually, Lord, I pray for revival. I pray, God, that the fire that once burned within many of the hearts of the people that are watching on live stream and the people that are in this building, I pray that that spirit of revival will start to stir and burn again. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that that demon of offense will be broken in the name of Jesus. God, they'll no longer be able to hold those things that they've held even for years, God. They've held them quietly where an offense has happened even in the body of Christ. And they haven't seen or realized that their fire has slowly been blown out. Holy Spirit, breathe on them again. Just Father, like you did with Adam, you breathed on him and life came. Jesus. Jesus. Yeah. I can go like this all day long. I just really sense the tangible presence of Christ. But I want you to realize that this is for you every single day. Not Sundays. Sundays are great. But this is, there's the anointing. Go, go, God. Go, go. Move by your spirit. Go. All the way to the back, Father. Move all the way to the back to the front. Father, can you do that? Can you go to the back to the front in the name of Jesus? Sweep, Holy Spirit. Let that wave of glory, Lord, start in the back and move to the front in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you. God, I'm looking forward to hearing your word. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say to the church. Looking forward, God, for your word to bring life to us and faith rise within our spirit. We come against, oh God, the spirit of doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. Lord, we command the spirit of faith to rise within the body of Christ. And Lord, we may be able to obtain and ascertain all that you've promised us. Thank you for the covenant. It is yea and amen. And we receive it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. On your way back to your chair, can you meet four or five folks that you don't know, you've never met before? Can you do that? Don't go to everybody you know, but go find somebody you don't know. And I know natural reaction is to sit down. Please don't sit down. Go find somebody. Go find somebody. Be nice. Be kind to somebody.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
Hey, His Tabernacle family. I want to invite you to our Next Step classes. These classes are meant to further your relationship with God. They're held at every campus, and if you need more information on it, visit histabernacle.com or go to the information center out front.
We have an awesome opportunity for you. Every Sunday morning at every campus, we host a class called Growth Track. What this is going to do is it's going to help you discover your purpose and how you fit into this body. We are so excited about this class. It is your next step if you haven't taken it. If you'd like more information, you can visit us right now at the Info Center, or you can visit us on our website at histabernacle.com.
Woo, good morning, His Tabernacle. It's so quiet out there. We just had amazing worship. The presence of God is in the house, and how can you be sleeping? We should be jumping for joy. Let's do calisthenics. Woo-hoo! Welcome to His Tabernacle Family Church. It's Sunday. We love Sundays. We love every day. This is the day the Lord has made. Bear with me while I try to get to my cheat sheet for the announcement. My name is Miss Carla. I'm happy to meet you all. We want to welcome our live stream family. We love you all very much. We thank you for joining us. There's bunches and bunches of you. You should get parties together if you're not within, you know, 50-mile radius and have a His Tabernacle party on Sunday mornings. But if you're within that 50-mile radius, we have a campus in Ithaca, we have one in Mansfield, and we have one right here in Horseheads, New York. We have a couple of really exciting things coming up. The first is that we have our next series, our next level, next series, is going to have an accompaniment with it. We have this incredible little tool for you called a Grow Book. And this one is entitled Brain Games. And this is a one-month accompaniment for your Bible study that goes along with the sermons that we're going to be preaching in the next series. So you want to get your hands on one of these. They are for sale out in the foyer. We're going to be using them in some of our small groups. And they're not a requirement, but they certainly are an amazing tool to help you learn and grow in Jesus and follow along with the sermon notes. There's scripture memory or memory scriptures in here. There's journaling in here. There's just a next level learning in Jesus. So go ahead and pick up one of these Grow books out in the foyer. And we also have the hot off the presses, the newest issue of Lady Rose magazine, Lady Rose USA, the magazine that Pastor Rhonda is having published here. This is a global magazine. They are the global. It is global. It is published in over 10,000 copies are distributed in Africa. There's a few thousand that are distributed in Europe as well. And now right here in the United States, we are growing this magazine. There are some powerful messages in here, not just for women, but family, children, parenting, men's articles. And you just want to grab a hold of that. This is also available at the product table. And then coming up, my second to last announcement. Coming up, we have the week of prayer and fasting. Woohoo! We have two of these a year now, and this is our second one for 2019. It is the week of September 8th through 11th. And there are times and details in your bulletin, but we pray morning, noon, and night that whole week. And it's just a powerful time in Christ, leading into our Welcome Home weekend, which comes up later in September. Now, who's here for the very first time at His Tabernacle Family Church and has not received a guest packet? I know we had a lot. Okay, so who's here for the very first time at His Tabernacle Family Church? Raise your hand. Very first time here. We want to welcome you. Now, if you have not received a guest packet, leave your hand up. If you did receive a guest packet, put your hand up. If you did still need a guest packet, keep your hand up. We want to invite all of you to the guest reception. We have coffee and refreshments for all of our first-time guests over here in this hallway. You can meet some of our staff and pastors, and we welcome you. There's another hand back there that didn't get a guest packet. And we have coffee and refreshments, and we want you to just come and meet and get to know us a little bit and let us get to know you a little bit after service. So make sure that you join us over there. And now I'm going to pass the microphone to Pastor Rhonda for tithes and offerings.
Oh, I love this time of the service so much. I'm a mom, and I love encouraging and financial wisdom for my own children, and I definitely wouldn't leave it out for the house of God. God loves a cheerful giver, and in this house, we are tithers and givers. We get to hear testimony after testimony every single week. Actually, we get to live testimony after testimony. As I spoke a few weeks ago, it's not that I just stand up here and teach it. The reason I stand up here and teach it is because I live it, and we get to enjoy the overwhelming blessing of God when you follow His principles. It is amazing. In the Word of God, we see testimonies of like Isaac, when there was famine in the land, and even in the middle of a famine, his harvest was produced. When nobody else was producing around him, his harvest was produced. So I just want to share a couple testimonies with you this morning. One, I was speaking with a woman whose husband is not even saved, doesn't come to church, but she's a tither and a sower, and she sows for her husband's business. She's a smart woman. She sows for her husband's business. And just this past week, after she sowed, he brought in 200 times the seed that she sowed. So listen, God loves a cheerful giver. And it says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Pastor's telling me I don't have enough time. See, I get so excited about this good stuff. I want to share it with you. All right, so I don't have time for the second testimony. But there's more than two anyways. We could go all day standing up here talking about how God loves to bless His children. And I know you might say, oh, it's not about getting a blessing. But listen, you can't pursue God and obey Him and not have blessing and prosperity and health show up in your life. It is His character and His nature. It is who He is. So if you're ready to give this morning, stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. This is simply the Word of God. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And His Word tells us the tithe belongs to the Lord. It's holy. Bring it to the storehouse. So it says, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. Other blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, go ahead and click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
He has overcome us. He has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He is overcome. Yes, He is overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here.
Good morning, everybody. I'm excited about this message. You guys are really good at what you do. Very good. I thank God for our SWAT team. We have more things coming out. One of the Bible school students came in and said, "Are we turning seeker sensitive?" Hallelujah. Last week we started sharing the Word of God, showing you scripturally that sickness does not belong in your body. Turn to someone and say, "I'm a believer." If you're born again, shout amen. Amen. If you're a covenant child of God, shout I am. If you're a covenant child of God, sickness does not belong in your body. Amen. We showed you there was no sickness in the garden. We showed you there was no sickness in heaven. We showed you that Jesus, our great example, there was no sickness in him while he walked on this earth. Sickness is not from God. You need to say that out loud. Sickness is not from God. Now, we have a bunch of churches that are out there preaching the opposite. They're preaching, "Well, you know, God put this disease on you to teach you some spiritual lesson." You know, you need to get mad at them. That's all right to get mad. The Bible says, "Be angry and sin not." Look at him and say, "You're a liar." It's a lot of fun. Their face kind of contorts when you tell them that. But you know, I have no problem telling them that they're a liar. Why? Well, because I don't want them prophesying in my life. Amen. Did you hear what I said? Prophelying. I didn't say prophesying. I said prophelying. I don't need a prophelier. I need somebody with faith to stand with me if I'm struggling with some sickness in my body. You see, God does not want sickness in your body. So this is the year of... That was so sad, wasn't it? I said, this is the year of... This whole year, if you're our guest this morning, a whole year, God gives me a theme for the whole year, and then we build upon line, precept upon precept, so that when you're done, you're going to understand how to go to your next level. We've just started a series. We did a series on next level faith. We did a series on next level change. Now we're doing a series on next level health. Now, I didn't say healing. I said health. I want to remind you that God's great plan is not healing. God's great plan is health. Healing is when you're not healthy. But God wants to get us to a place where we live in divine health, not always needing healing. And in that, there's parts. Number one, you got to understand that it's God's will that you're not sick. Because if you actually believe that God put a sickness on you, then you can never pray in faith to have it relieved. You know, it's amazing for those who struggle and actually believe that it's God's will that they're sick. It always amazes me that they take medication. It always amazes me that they go to doctors. Because if you actually believe that God put a sickness and a disease on you and you go to the doctor, then you're trying to stop God's will in your life. See how foolish this is? You know what? If you actually believe that if God put a sickness and a disease on you, then you know, come on now, I'm going to offend people, but if you actually believe that, then you're calling every doctor and every nurse diabolical and demonic. What is their whole job in life? Their whole job is to bring health and healing to you. And if you believe that God put a sickness and disease on you, then what you're saying is that they are people that are anti-God. See how twisted we've become? We've got to get back to understanding that it is always God's will. It's part of our covenant rights. Now, Jesus paid the price for a covenant. The Bible is not just a bunch of yays and amens, but it is a covenant. I want to remind you what a covenant is. A covenant is a contract between two, a greater and a lesser. And the greater, listen, if you get a car loan, you are not the greater, you are the lesser. Amen. But if you are a person that is equal, it's very hard to come to a contract or come to an agreement. You're on the same plane. But always covenants are with a greater and a lesser. And God created a covenant for us, with us, through Jesus Christ. According to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Jesus became sin. There he died on a cross. He was cursed on the cross, for accursed is every man that dies on the tree. Showing that when he died on the cross, he broke the power of the curse. What was the power of the curse? What Adam and Eve lost. What they lost in the garden. What did they lose? They lost their relationship with God. They lost divine health. And they lost divine access and prosperity. God, through Jesus, restored this in your life. This is your covenant right. Listen, I thank God, and you know, most preachers out there, they're preaching only part of the covenant. They're preaching salvation. Thank God they're preaching salvation. Can I hear an amen? But that's just part of your covenant. It's not the whole thing of the covenant. Can you imagine working at a job? You have a covenant with a company that they're going to pay you a certain amount of money, that they're going to give you a benefit or a benefit package or an extra paycheck at Christmas time. How many of you saw National Lampoon's Vacation or Christmas Vacation? Do you remember when he didn't get his bonus on Christmas Eve? Man, his cousin, man, that guy's nuts. His cousin jumped in that nasty RV, drove out there and threw the boss in and kidnapped him. Why? Because they didn't get their benefit package. You and I have got to start becoming people that are unwilling to be satisfied with only part of the covenant that Christ has cut on Calvary's tree. I'm not going to believe part of the covenant. I'm going to believe the whole covenant. What Jesus paid for, I'm not going to leave on the table. I want to take what he's given me and live the life that we have on this earth. Can I hear an amen or oh my? God created the greatest healthcare plan. I want to remind you that we are part of a kingdom. A kingdom is not a religion. A kingdom is a country. A kingdom is a place, a location. And God is in the kingdom. Every king has a kingdom. Every kingdom has a constitution. Every constitution has laws. And the laws that are imposed by the king are yea and amen. They cannot be changed. They cannot be thwarted. They cannot be twisted. For God cannot lie. Say amen or oh my. If I stop preaching right there, that's good preaching. Today you're going to learn three things. Number one, where did sickness come from? Number two, why do Christians get sick? And number three, we have a responsibility to live in divine health. Today I want to talk to you. I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to the book of James chapter 1 verses 22 through 25. And it says this. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. I'll repeat that. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the law, perfect law, that was set for us, the law of life in Christ Jesus, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and if you do what it says, you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So here we have a plan that God has put in order. And he said this, here's my word, obey it. If you love me, keep my commandments. As believers, it's amazing. We love to obey the parts we like. Amen. When we're talking about divine health, we have a part in being healthy. Boy, you are quiet this morning, aren't you? Where did sickness come from? You know, when you start looking in the scripture, you can actually see when sickness began. Sickness actually began because of sin that Adam and Eve created. They made a choice. They made a choice to live. They made a choice to disobey God. When they disobeyed God, sin came in. When sin came in, that's when we started to see sickness. There was no sickness otherwise. So the very root of sickness is diabolical and sinful. Now, you need to hear me now. I'm not saying if you're sick, you have a demon or you're in sin. But what I'm saying is the very root of it. So for us to grasp a hold of this, we can realize real quickly that it's not been God's plan that you are sick or diseased. God's plan was what Jesus lived in the garden. Excuse me, Adam and Eve lived in the garden. Jesus lived on earth, and what we're going to have in heaven. Now, you and I believe the Bible. Is that correct? Say this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sickness in heaven? Then what God, you just prayed, what Jesus taught us to pray, is that we have the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. Sickness has no right. Sickness has no place in your body. Can I hear an amen? Amen. In fact, you are already healed. Jesus said, excuse me, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that by his stripes you were healed. 2,000 years ago, your salvation was appropriated. 2,000 years ago, your healing was appropriated. 2,000 years ago, your blessing was appropriated. And now, just like as easy as salvation, healing needs to be appropriated just like you did salvation. It's already done in your life. We are serving the enemy of our soul who wants to get us to actually agree with against the word rather than with the word. Remember, the very sin of Eve was she agreed with the devil. If the enemy can get you to agree that sickness that's in your body, even if it's the common cold, is just the way it is because you're living on earth, then if you don't have and will not exercise faith over a common cold, then you will not and have a hard time exercising faith when it comes to a serious problem. So we've got to have faith. I walk by and not by. I walk by and not by. Faith in what? Not faith in faith, but faith in God. What do you mean faith in God? Jesus is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. We have faith that what the word says, it is true, and we will not doubt. We will not turn to the right or the left. We are going to focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and we're going to run this race, and we are going to win, for our faith will overcome the world. So sickness did not appear until sin appeared on this earth. But the great news is that Jesus Christ came. Amen? I said the great news is that Jesus Christ came. Amen? Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good. If I say Jesus did good. Now, listen now. If it was God's will that you were sick, if Jesus did good, then why did he heal everybody? Somewhere in his findings, he would go into a whole town and the whole town would be healed. Wouldn't you think there was somebody in there that was evil enough that Jesus would say, it's not your turn next week Thursday? No. You see, this is how the church has been taught incorrectly. This is how the church has been lied to. You have been stolen from. You know, if you no longer believe it's always God's will to heal, then you have been stolen from. And you need to take back what the devil has stolen. You need to start declaring the word of the Lord, even over your experiences and over your problems and over your situations. You got to believe that God's word is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus did good healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You see, that's where you and I have a confidence that no matter what sickness or disease comes in our life, no matter what we're tempted with in our bodies, we have the right because of what Jesus did. Jesus acquired it on Calvary. Jesus paid for it wholly. You don't have to keep paying for it, just like you don't have to keep paying for your sin. I'm saddened for these preachers. Now, listen now. I can tell you how to identify them. When you go to get prayed for when you're sick, they pray, oh God, if it be your will, we ask that you will remove this sickness from their life. I want you to know they took one verse. Jesus prayed the will of God once. He said, oh God, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. That's the only time you see it in the scripture. Isn't it amazing that to make themselves, oh, come on now, because I used to be one of those preachers. Let me tell you why I would pray that prayer. Because if they didn't seem to get their physical miracle or healing, I didn't want to look bad. Listen, I'm not the healer. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I couldn't heal a fly off I couldn't heal a wing off a fly. But I know a God who lives within me that says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not they might recover, but they shall recover. I know the word is true, and therefore I expect when I lay hands on somebody, there's going to be a supernatural movement of God. The anointing is going to be released. Just like in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, I'm going to do good, healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So why are Christians sick? Well, I told you last week, I remember when I was going to be an evangelist, I sent out a bunch of letters to these guys I went to Bible school with. And I said, you know, I'd like to come and preach at your church. And they said, send us a tape of one of your sermons. And I sent them a tape of healing, that it's always God's will to heal. And I remember sending that to them, and then I got a response back. And one of the guy's responses was, listen, half of my church are sick. If I had you come, you'd mess them up. The pastor did not have the faith to pray for healing and miracles. The pastor did not believe the whole gospel of Christ. So therefore, how in the world would he pray for the people? Listen, I'm here to tell you how evil it is that you would constrain the gospel to have the people suffer because you have pride in your life and you're ashamed you're going to look bad. Just had to say that out loud. That is a good one. Sadly enough, I was one of those preachers. Man, when God changed my life, when I started looking into the Bible, I kind of found out that what I even thought, what I presumed, what I even experienced, no matter what it is, did not line up with the scripture, and I had to make a decision. I'm either going to believe the whole word of God, the whole gospel of God, the whole Bible, or throw it away and let's go home, stop playing games. Can I hear an amen? So why are the Christians sick? Why are saints sick? And I want to say this to you. I believe the majority of believers are sick because they have never been taught. The Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Because this message is not preached. Now, I want to be honest with you. Right now in this whole region, we are the only church that's preaching it's always God's will to heal, the full covenant of God. We're the only church. And man, that makes me sad. If you could just prove it to me, come. I'll sit with you anytime you want. Bring your Bible and show me where it's not God's will to heal every single person, where it's not part of the covenant of God. You can't do it because the Bible is clear on this topic. There is no gray matter in this topic. You cannot separate the blood and the body of Christ. The blood represents forgiveness and the body represents healing. Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 15, Psalms 103, Psalms 105, Psalms 107, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And the very nature of Christ himself was to do good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. You're just going to have to buy the CD. Or come to Rock Solid Faith. Some of you have never been to Rock Solid Faith. Dear God, what's wrong with you, man? You can't grow. You will not grow enough until you go to Rock Solid Faith. Sunday sermon is not enough. Can I hear an amen? Well, I've been through Rock Solid Faith. Listen, I've been through Rock Solid Faith. I not only taught it for 25 years, I wrote the book. And I still learn. You've never learned enough. Amen. Sunday morning Christian is not good enough. In the last days, I was just declaring over last night with our group, Friday night with our group leaders, one Sunday a week is not enough to survive when temptation, listen now, and when genuine tribulation comes upon the church. I want you to know that there is coming a time, and Christ has always done this, we've always seen this in the scripture, where there's a separation between the sheep and the goats that only comes through persecution. There's going to come a time persecution is going to hit the church. And if you are not solid, you are going to struggle standing. That was free. That had nothing to do with the sermon. We live in a sinful world. That's why sickness is here. We live in a fallen world. That's why sickness is here. But I've got great news for you. You have overcome the world through Jesus Christ. You are always healed. Sickness is not your lot. Sickness is not your design. Sickness is not the plan of God. Sin originally caused sickness. And when sin is not part of your life, when Christ in Galatians 3:13 died, became that sacrifice for us, you and I no longer are tributed to sin. We have the right to stand and declare the goodness of God. John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, I do want to say that some people are sick because of sin. I'm talking believers. There are believers that have sin in their life, that they are literally sick because of the sin. One of the first things you do as a believer is get the sin out of your life. I didn't hear a lot of amens on that one. I said one of the first things you do as a believer is get the sin out of your life. Amen. Some of you, the sin is how you're thinking. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible declares you have the mind of Christ. The Word of God declares to bring into captivity every thought and imagination that would raise itself up against God. We've got to make a determination. Even sometimes our thoughts are sin, and we've got to arrest them and don't fall into the Eve syndrome where you start believing what the devil's telling you. You start believing with what the sickness in the body's telling you. You've got to declare the Word of the Lord over all situations in your life. Does this mean if I've got sickness, Pastor, that I have sin in my life? Absolutely not. That's just one of the causes. And if it's your cause, get the sin out. But if it's not your cause, what's another option? Well, some believers are sick because of a demon. There are real demons. It's called the spirit of infirmity. What is a spirit of infirmity? It is an actual demon spirit that will come on your body and cause a sickness and or disease. We know that Jesus, when he prayed, he cast out demons of blindness. Some blindness is caused by demonic spirits. In fact, when you study the old-time revivalists, they actually believe that all cataracts had a demonic spirit to it because it's death that grows. They also believe that all cancers have a demonic root to it. It's life that brings death, and it brings death to the life. So whenever I pray for sickness, whenever I pray for cancer, I'm not praying so that you can just have a nice little oochie-goochie sensation. I'm binding that spirit who's given life to a cancer. I'm binding life that's giving life to arthritis. I'm binding the life that's giving life to a cataract in your body. I'm taking authority over it. Why? Because the Bible says that Jesus even dealt with a woman who was bent over and in no wise could raise herself up. You see, she had osteoporosis. She had a degeneration of her back. She had a degeneration in arthritic. And what happened was this, is that Jesus didn't look and say, I pray your back is healed. He looked at her and said, I command that demon spirit that's on you for these 18 years to come off. And they did, and she stood straight up. You see, we've got to recognize that some sicknesses are caused by demons. And when it is, you can't medicate it off. You can't medicate off a demon spirit. You got to cast off a demon spirit. You got to take authority over a demon spirit. So some people are sick simply because they have sin in their life. Some people are sick because of a demonic entity that is causing illness in their body. I remember I was in Northern Maine and I had a word of knowledge about somebody that was dealing with sickness in their back. And I explained exactly where it was. And a man stood up and he said, that's me. He said, it's excruciating. I said, I know, I can feel it. With the word of knowledge, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I can actually feel the physical illness. That's why when I call it out here, when you see me calling it out here like I did the hip this morning, I know what I came in feeling and I know what I felt then. That was not mine, that was somebody else's, and I don't want to keep it. Can I hear an amen? So I literally physically feel the actual feeling of sickness and what's happening in the body. And so I looked and I said, okay, sir, I want to pray for you. I laid hands on him and I declared healing in his back. I said, now, how does it feel? He said, it's strange because it was right here in my back, but now it's over here on my side. I said, well, let me pray again. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command right now healing in that part of the body. He said, and now it's moved over here. I said, oh, I know what it is. I said, you spirit of infirmity, I curse you and I command you to come out of his body from this night forward in Jesus' name. Boom. That man, the power of God hit him. He came back the next night, no more pain. I went back the next year. It was in Skowhegan, Maine. Went back the next year, and he was completely healthy. Never had another problem in his body. Because that was not a physical problem. That was a demonic problem. And there are demons that cause sicknesses in the Bible. And we need to take authority over them in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen or am I? Another reason that some believers are sick is that they do not know their covenant rights. That is, they've never been taught. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29 through 30, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now, if you want to govern the first part of that verse, it talks about believers that have sin in their life. They're not right with God. And because they're not right, some of them are sick. Some of them are dying early. But it also says many have not discerned the Lord's body, which means they haven't been taught that this is your lot. See, you cannot have faith in what you do not believe in. You cannot have faith in what you're not convinced in. You cannot have faith in something that is not true. Well, you can have faith, but it will not manifest for you. But when the truth will make you free, Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. When you understand the truth, then you can put your faith in it. And when you put your faith in Christ, there's nothing that cannot be accomplished in the name of Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Some believers are sick because of birth defects. Now, sadly enough, that is true. We see this in the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. There was a man who was born blind, and he came up for healing. And his disciples said, who sinned? Was it his mother or family members? And Jesus said, nobody sinned, but God's going to get the glory. I want you to realize that some people are born with sicknesses and diseases. Some people are born with problems in their bodies. And I want you to realize, even if you've been born with it, God can heal it. Can I hear an amen? Some are sick because of accidents. Some people have had accidents. I remember one time at our church in Newfield, we had an evangelist come into town, and he had a word of knowledge. It was 8 people with back problems. All 8 came up. Only one of them was born with a back problem. He had, curvature of the spine? Scoliosis. And he laid hands on him, and his literally, you could see it, his back straightened right out. But the other ones, they got wounded by doing dumb stuff. One guy lifted a refrigerator, blew his back out. You know, if you've worked in construction, you know you've hurt your back probably once or twice. Picking up boxes. If you've been a nurse, you're picking up patients. You hurt yourself. These are accidents, car accidents. There are many different types of accidents. People falling, people tripping. No matter what the accident is, I want you to realize that Jesus Christ can still heal your accident. Just because you've had an accident doesn't mean you have to accept it and receive it for the rest of your life.
Well, I don't know.
Exactly what you'll receive. Some people are sick and diseased because they don't take care of themselves. This really is, when you want to get down to it, the number one cause of most sickness and diseases that we have in America today. We have in the church. What's amazing is, in America, 200 years ago, the average American ate 3 pounds of sugar a year. In America today, by the way, these are 25-pound bags. In America today, the average American The average American Angel, you want to come up here, please? The average American eats 150 pounds of sugar a year. There is a large part of the American population that are eating up to 300 pounds of white sugar a year. Angel weighs 123.9 pounds.
123.
That means most Americans are eating 30 pounds more than what she weighs a year in white sugar. That crazy?
That's crazy.
You want some?
No.
Thank you. From 3 pounds to an average of 150 pounds of white sugar. When you study white sugar, you're going to learn some amazing health benefits that you get. I believe every can of Coca-Cola has about 16 teaspoons of sugar. It's amazing when we start eating, we like this taste. Now listen now, this is pretty, if this doesn't rock you a little bit and bring an understanding why so many believers are sick, we're eating so badly as Americans. We're eating so badly that in the morning we're going to, I'm sorry, I can't even eat it. I might need to rush out of here. I can't go to McDonald's and leave. I have to go to the bathroom first. Nothing against McDonald's. Fast food is amazing because what it does is it positions ourselves to eat so poorly that our bodies are not being taken up properly, not being taken care of properly. Now, sadly enough, what's amazing to me is how much soda we eat, drink, and how much candy we eat. I love donuts. God, there has to be donuts in heaven. When we get our glorified body, I'm praying. But we eat so much fats and we eat so much carbohydrates. And amazingly in America, I won't get to that yet, but we also have some amazing bad habits. Do you ever notice? Listen, this is something for you to notice. It's very rare to talk to somebody that's in the world that alcohol is not going to be part of the conversation. Most people in the world and the church, they're owned by what we call liquid. Baseball games, softball games, football games, tennis, dear Jesus. All these games is amazing. You talk about any kind of activity. What are you doing after work? Want to go get a drink? Hey, listen, I got a new bottle of wine. You want to come over? Everything is surrounding alcohol. Listen, I've actually paid attention. One day I'm going to write a country song about owned by liquid. I'm not a good country singer.
Well, I know my life is owned by liquid.
It will amaze you to see how much and how many people their whole lives are wrapped up with liquid, are wrapped up and owned by some kind of alcohol. It's amazing. Somebody said to me, well, I like the taste. I said, drink O'Doul's. Well, I mean, that's right. You want to get a buzz, which means you're trying to replace the Holy Spirit for something in your life. There's a need to understand that you don't need alcohol in your life. Can I hear an amen? Listen, when you go to the bar and you start drinking with your friends, you actually think they're going to listen to the gospel? They know not to drink. They know you as a believer shouldn't be drinking.
Well, I think you're preaching a clothesline message.
Yeah, I'm going to clothesline you. Because there is no difference between most Christians and their friends. Well, you know, let's go drink. Everyone drinks the same way. Everyone's cussing the same way, and then you want to share the gospel with them. Listen, heaven and hell are at stake for their entire lives. Listen, how important is that beer to you? I used to, when I was a youth pastor in Pennsylvania, I had to rent a room from this old guy who wasn't born again. And every night, he had to have a beer. Every night. So he went to his doctor, and his doctor said, you, sir, are an alcoholic. He said, I only have one beer a night. He says, that's right, but you have to have it. I challenge you, if you're in this room and you're a drinker and booze is surrounding your life, I challenge you to go 2 months without having any of the sauce put on your lips. You'll find that most of you cannot. Why? Because it is an addiction in your life. When you realize how powerful alcohol is and how the devil has used it to destroy so many families, I cannot even count the amount of families that I have seen destroyed in this church because of alcohol. If they weren't an alcoholic, they got drunk and did something stupid. Can I hear an amen or am I? You see, the problem with alcohol is it creates an addiction. You should be owned by nothing but Jesus Christ. It causes liver disease, pancreatitis, heart disease, brain damage, cancer, stomach issues, muscle tissue disease, depression, strokes, high blood pressure, smoking.
Well, I only vape.
Oh, dear God. You're owned. You should be again owned by nobody, nothing but Jesus Christ. And these vices cause sickness. These vices cause diseases. You cannot eat 100 hamburgers a day and blame the devil if your heart blows up. Say amen.
Amen.
Smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, COPD, stroke, asthma, female reproduction problems, premature babies and weight problems, diabetes, blindness, and 10 other types of cancers. Drugs.
Dude, it's legal now, you know? It's just an herb. It's just an herb, man. Like, I only smoke it, like, when I'm really struggling. Oh, you know, I got a prescription.
Really? I got something for you. I remember a man, he used that excuse with me. I looked at him and I said, you know, you got a prescription to smoke weed, right? He said, yeah. I said, why don't you take the pill? I remember I had a man come into my office one night, and he said, Pastor, I want to confess, and I want to break an addiction in my life. I said, that's awesome. And he handed me a pack of Marlboros. I said, glory to God. He said, you should probably open it. I opened it, and there's like four joints and a nickel bag. And I said, what? I said, now I'm going to jail. Man, it used to be just a thing of the teenagers, and today teenagers are smoking weed like crazy. Some of them are smoking weed with their parents. Just a little herb. Take the pill if you really need it. You know, I don't believe there's anything wrong with marijuana. I don't believe it's an evil plant. But if it's used wrongly, then it's wrong. Can I hear it? Amen. Amen. And it's an entry drug into the rest of the world. And how many of you know this? In this area, man, we've seen how many people die of heroin overdoses. We had one young man that was supposed to be here on a Sunday morning, and he had a heroin overdose on Saturday night. The devil killed him on Saturday night before he could hear the gospel on Sunday morning. Drugs will kill you. Plus, when you're smoking a blunt with your friends, dear God, do you really think they're going to hear the gospel? I'm not hearing much out there. I know 60-year-olds that smoke weed. What's your problem? Come on, get delivered. Ow! My God. Late. Then some are sick like me. Did you see it all jiggle? I went to my doctor. I hadn't been for 3 years, and he's mad at me. And he said, I'm going to put you through every test there is. And he says, you've been riding bicycle? I said, I used to. Used to do 1,000 miles a year. And he said to me, I'm going to put you through every test. So all the tests came back good, except for one. He said, you got fat on your liver. I said, fat on your liver? I says, how you get the fat off your liver? He said, you're fat. He said, the only way to get fat off your liver is to lose weight. You know, God did not create you to sit. Even in the gospel, the Bible didn't say sit and save. It said seek and to save. Every part of our lives is supposed to be moving. How many believers do nothing? We're brought now into a sedentary atmosphere of life. We do nothing and we just gain. Percent of Americans exercise the recommended amount of CDC 2018. 22%. The rest of us, where's the Twinkie? Now, when your belly button is so deep, you have a hard time finding your hand when it goes in. It's time to do something. Can I hear an amen? But only 22% of Americans exercise at all. And when we're eating 150 pounds of sugar a year, we can't be shocked when our physical bodies are not healthy. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. I said amen. Amen. The percent of adults age 20 and above with obesity is 40%, 39.8. The percent of adults age 20 and over with overweight, including obesity, is 71%. Health risks associated with obesity are many, which are risks of dealing with death from all causes: hypertension, two types of diabetes, heart disease, stroke. Somebody just sent me an airdrop. There we go. Where'd you go? Now that is ugly. And even mental illness is caused by obesity. I don't know about you. I know God's plan is divine health. And you know what I found about me is simply this. And I was telling my wife this morning. You know, we traveled last week, and it's just been a very busy week. We were in North Carolina for 2 days. Tuesday's my busy day. Usually do a 14 to 18 hour day. Wednesday, we left for North Carolina. We were in North Carolina with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth until Friday morning. We got on the plane at 3 a.m. on the plane down there to get back here for noon. We got back at noon. Plans all over the place, and then Friday night was coming and preaching and ministering to the home group leaders, and then we had Saturday, we had to leave at 8 a.m. to go down to Pecksville, Pennsylvania, near Scranton to meet with Bishop. We met with both of our leaders this week with Bishop. We hung out with Bishop for a few hours, came back last night, came here to the rest of the stuff for the groups, then went back home, was up at 5 o'clock this morning. I'll preach two messages today, and then I've got things I have to do when I get home, but I use every excuse in the world not to exercise. All right. Jesus, help us all. I think I just did what? 30 reps? Don't smell my armpits. Right about now, it's bad. I got to go back. Look, I'm sweating. Isn't that horrible? We have a responsibility to live healthy. Pastor Obi was smiling and gloating this morning as he walked into the office and he said, "Pastor, I'm more than willing to keep you held accountable." I wanted to say, kept everything without me, say, "I hate you." 30-year-old whippersnapper with muscles on muscles and legs all beefed out, and he can wear the skinny jeans and they work. I wear skinny jeans and I got bulges. Here we are, man. There's a time for us to hold ourselves responsible. And I've always found this. When I'm more responsible in living a disciplined life, I'm more responsible in my spiritual life. Amen. So I've got to end. No matter whether you're sick from smoking, if you're sick from smoking, quit smoking. Quit vaping. Amen. Oh, I've got COPD. Well, yeah, you smoked for 40 years. Jesus will heal you. Don't keep smoking. My mother-in-law was diagnosed, Rhonda's ma, she was diagnosed with diabetes and high blood pressure. She came up front. I laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. God healed her. I'm talking like he healed her. She went back to the doctor. She had no more high blood pressure. She had no more diabetes. She was healed. I mean, genuinely, doctor declared healed. But I said to her, stop eating the way you're eating and start exercising. She says, I'm going to die eating whatever I want to eat, and no one's going to tell me how to eat. I'll die happy. And she died happy. She died before her time. Some are sick, not because it's God's will, not because the devil showed up on your doorstep, but because we're doing bad things to ourselves and we're wondering why we're not healthy. Get healthy. Can I hear an amen? Amen. We should be the healthiest people on the planet. Amen. Amen. Preaching to myself. My goal this year is 500 miles. I'm only a fifth of the way there, which is horrible. Usually by this time, I'm at least 500 miles. I'm going to have 500 miles done by New Year's Eve. I will do 500 miles. I will show you. Not that I'll be happy, because that means now I'm committed. 2 years ago, it was New Year's Eve, and I was 50 miles short of my 1,000 miles. I got on my bicycle and during the snowstorm and rode 50 miles on my bicycle to get my 1,000 miles. Some of you just need to get out of bed and do some push-ups. My wife grabbed my arm the other day. Horrible. She grabbed my arm and she went, oh, and I'm thinking, hey. She was saying, where did it go? Am I lying? No. I used to have pecs, now I got decks. I still have a six pack, but I don't know what kind of drilling machine is going to get down there. I thought about lipo, but who wants to pay the price? But honestly, if you want to be healthy, live God's plan, you got to do something about it. Put down the Twinkie. Danger, danger, Will Robertson. That's for older people, honey. We've got to make a decision. God's plan is divine health. God's plan is for us to live healthy. No matter what sickness, no matter what disease, no matter if you were born with it, no matter if it's an accident, no matter even if you cause it, I want you to know that Jesus Christ's will is still that you be whole, still that you be healthy. God wants to make you whole, and I need you to grasp this, because God's passion is to heal your body. His passion is for you to live healthy and whole. Man, I want you to know, sickness is bondage, and Christ came to set the captives free. It's time for us to live healthy. Can I hear an amen? And I'm going on this trek with you. How many of you will go with me? Don't raise your hand if you don't mean it. I'm not talking a quick diet. I'm talking a lifestyle. You know what the Lord told me? And I'll end with this. Of course, I've ended four times. Now I'm over my end. He said, get right. This is what he said to me. Get right. He said, you know what? If I actually poured out my spirit the way you've been praying, you couldn't handle it. He said, you don't have the stamina to go five nights in a row doing revivals 4 and 5 hours a night. He said, if you don't get healthy, I can't pour my spirit out, because you have to be physically ready to handle that. And I don't know about you. I want God to move in my life. I want God to change our lives. Amen. I want God to change our region. Amen. But it's not going to happen if we're not healthy enough to do it. And you can be healthy physically and sick spiritually. So bring the balance. Repent. Get right before God. Bow your heads with me this morning. I'm way over. We're going to have a massive collision in the parking lot. Please don't hit anybody. We'll pray for their healing, but we'd rather not. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join religion. I know I preached long, but you know it was a good one. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and you want to receive Him in your heart, I'd like you to raise your hand up. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. He's going to wash your sins away. He's going to make you a brand new man, a brand new woman. He's going to set you on the path of destiny. And greatest thing, you get the three-part covenant that Christ paid for on the tree. Does anybody here want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Is there anyone here at all? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. If you need physical healing in your body, they're going to lay hands on you. God's going to heal you this morning. In fact, you're already healed. They're just going to agree with you. I'm going to have Mindy come on over here and stand on the third step. If you did not raise your hand, but you want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, you want your sins forgiven, you want to be part of the covenant of God, you just come right on up here, and we're going to lead you to Christ. Let me pray over you. Father, I declare in Jesus' name that, Lord, this will be the healthiest congregation in this entire region. God will be not only healthy because we are living good, Lord, but because you are the healer. We curse cancers, we curse diseases, we curse blindness, deafness, we curse, oh God, osteoporosis. Lord, we curse right now, Lord, all sickness and all disease in our bodies. Lord, even things we're born with, we command them to be resituated, rehealed, restored, and even renewed. Lord, we just declare your goodness over our lives in the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted,
amen.
I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Have an awesome week.